I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Welcome into the Great Debate Show, everybody, where we do a quick debate-style argument between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me this week is a special guest, John Sheps, host of Toilets to Titles. You can find him on Twitter at Coach Sheps. John, how's it going, man? Welcome to the show.
Good, man. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here, Chris. We've kind of been talking here and there over the past few years, and I've known about your show, and clearly I know about Sleeperwire, so I'm really excited that you asked me to come on, and I'm ready to debate, man.
It's been one of those things where our conversations are like, hey, are you free to come on my show? Hey, are you free to come on my show? And like, we just never set a time.
Yeah. I'm glad you know, and this is such a simple format for me, yeah. You know, like a little stressful because I know this is a thing you've been doing for a while and I don't want to be like the worst debater of all time. So I have that pressure on my back right now, but I'm definitely excited to be here.
Well, man, this is going to be fun here. So you know the format of the Great Debate. We talked about it on Twitter and everything. It's going to be a spooky Great Debate because Halloween, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, very. Yeah. We might see a ghost or two. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, for anyone listening for the first time, here is how the show goes. So we each have a player that we are arguing for. We get 2 minutes to argue for our player. We get 90 seconds for a rebuttal, and then we finish up with final thoughts on our player, and that's the show. And this week, we have tight ends for the first time this season. So we're doing Logan Thomas versus Harrison Bryant. I have Thomas, and John, you've got Bryant. And we're actually going to, instead of flip a coin, flip a piece of candy.
We got to see who goes first. So we got the K, you know, because Snickers is doing this thing with the small candies. Got the K. Right. We got the Snickers side. So I'm gonna let you choose. Or should I choose? Because I'm the visitor here. You know what I mean?
You know what? I'll choose since you're flipping the coin. I can't see what you're doing.
Cool. So I'm gonna flip it in the air. You call it. So it's K or it's Snickers. One or the other.
All right. K.
K. It is.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and get us started with Logan Thomas here.
All right. Let me get my timer set up. Give me a second. All right. We're good.
All right. Let's kick it off. So is this a fifth-year breakout for this guy? Through 7 games, Logan Thomas already has a career high in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. And he's doing that with the ragtag crew of Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and Alex Smith. This is a guy that almost nobody drafted. Let's face it, who wanted the tight end for the Washington football team? Who even really knew who it was going to be going into the season? Well, Logan Thomas, baby. This guy has 4 or more targets in each game this season, including games of 8, 9, and 7 targets. He put up his best week this past Sunday in the 25-3 victory over Dallas, 4 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown, giving him 3 scores in the season and back-to-back games with a touchdown as well. He's definitely not the first read for any starting quarterback in Washington. I mean, why would he be? They've got Terry McLaurin, one of the rising young stars in the NFL, but he does get looks when Washington needs it most. 40% of his targets have come on 3rd down. I mean, that's when teams need to move the ball, and they've been able to, well, Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen in particular, have been able to focus on Logan Thomas on 3rd down. He's also got 7 red zone targets, and for reference, the NFL leader in red zone targets are Calvin Ridley and Travis Kelce with 11. Well, Thomas has 7. He's right there with them. He's caught 6 of those targets, red zone catch percentage of 85.7%, and all 3 of his touchdowns have been inside the opposing team's 20. 3 of those have also been inside the 10. This guy gets looks down on the goal line or close to the goal line. And in fact, his 2 red zone targets from Kyle Allen have both resulted in touchdowns. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, aside from Alex Smith against the Rams and, you know, Aaron Donald. This guy has been getting it done. 13 of his 21 receptions have gone for first downs. There are a lot of leagues this year who are giving away points for reception.
Time.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move to the rebuttal. John, what do you got against Logan Thomas here?
Against Logan Thomas. Okay. He's only nine spots ahead of Harrison Bryant in PPR scoring, though he started six more games than Bryant. He's got 22 more targets than Bryant, but he only has nine more receptions. Whether that's on Thomas or his quarterbacks, that's not good. All right. Thomas has a 4.7 average yards per target. Bryant has an average of 7 yards per target. Also, Steven Sims is coming back, and he looked great down the stretch. He's coming back after the bye, so I do think that's going to cut into some of Logan Thomas's targets, as well as some of those red zone targets, because he had a few touchdowns down the stretch last year, and I expect that to pick back up. Also, I trust Baker Mayfield over Kyle Allen, whether that's something that, I mean, after last week, 5 touchdown game, and he was the number one overall pick when he came out, so I don't think that's too crazy to say. In my opinion, Bryant has the higher ceiling, you know, and I think they have an equal floor. I don't think Thomas's ceiling is all that high. I think he's just a guy. I think he's getting targets, but he's not doing too much with them. You know, he's getting the ball when he's in the end zone. He's not breaking chunk plays and getting into the end zone. So I just don't think Logan Thomas's ceiling is all that high. So, I don't even need all the 90 seconds, man.
You don't. No, that look on my face was, I didn't expect anyone to say, I trust Baker Mayfield, until you put the over Kyle Allen.
Yeah, with yeah. I think that's fair. I don't think that's all too crazy.
No, not at all. Well, let's go ahead and flip it. Let's get over to Harrison Bryant. John, take it away, man.
All right, so Harrison Bryant is currently PPR tight end number 24. And that's only 2 spots behind Austin Hooper, who is considered the starter in Cleveland right now. I do think if you look at Bryant's combine results, his physical profile and athletic profile is very similar to Mark Andrews, who Baker Mayfield had great success with at Oklahoma. Bryant is 6'5", Andrews is 6'5". Bryant ran a 4.73, Andrews a 4.67, Bryant 32.5-inch vert, Andrews 31-inch vert, and Bryant ran a 7.413 cone. Andrews had a 7.34, so they're very similar, and I think this is a formula. Baker to Andrews is something that I think Baker built his statistical career off of that. He also had CeeDee Lamb, but Mark Andrews is no dud. So I think he sees in Bryant a little similar to what he saw in Andrews. Even with Njoku healthy, he drew the start, which shows that Cleveland believed in him before the game, and then he went and backed up that belief with solid production, okay? He had 4 receptions, 56 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So he got into the end zone twice, all right, in one game. Now, OBJ is out for the remainder of the season. So even with Hooper healthy, I think there's room for Bryant to produce. I think, you know, and even Landry's a little banged up. Landry's got that rib thing going on. So I do think we could see, I'm thinking what we could see from Hooper and Bryant down the stretch is similar to what we saw from Ertz and Goedert down the stretch last year. And Goedert won me a lot of leagues last year, tight end premium leagues specifically, because he wasn't a guy that everybody picked up early on. I was able either to get him on waivers or just to get him late in the draft. And that's somebody that Harrison Bryant is. If he's your tight end too on a week-to-week basis in a tight end premium league, I think you can count on him. Because again, I think there's enough balls to go around in Cleveland right now. I think, you know, Rashard Higgins stepped up a little bit. You know, I think Kareem Hunt's there, and he's going to get those red zone targets.
Time. A lot of stuff in there, man. I like it. Well, so against Harrison Bryant here, he's only received more than 2 targets twice this season. Yes, he had 2 touchdowns this last week, but that was in a game where it took Baker Mayfield throwing 5 touchdowns to beat the Bengals. That's not going to happen again. Even with all that passing, Bryant still only had 5 targets. Austin Hooper, as you mentioned, he was also out after having an appendectomy, which is not a lengthy recovery. He's not going to miss much more time. He'll be back, and he'll be the number one tight end option for the Browns again. But give me the starting tight end over, you know, the second or third tight end when I need a streamer. And Bryant is the second or third tight end, depending on if they like Njoku that week or not. Once Austin Hooper is back, he's also going to cost more this week. People are going to look at the two touchdowns and they're going to overreact, just like the Darren Fells two touchdown game. People are going to see them and be like, oh, two touchdowns. Okay, I'm going to pick him up, and overlook the fact that, you know, it took Baker Mayfield throwing five touchdowns in order to get him, you know, get him the ball. Now, I do think he's a great dynasty asset, but he is going to be more expensive this week. You're going to have to drop more fab on him than you would for Logan Thomas, and he'll be back to being, you know, the second string soon. I think this is just going to be an overreaction week for Harrison Bryant.
Fair, fair. And you didn't need the 90 seconds either.
I was keeping an eye on it, but nope. All right, guys, before we move into final thoughts, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we are giving away either a signed Chris Godwin or a signed Kenny Golladay jersey on our Patreon page, patreon.com/sleeperwire. And the way you get into the contest, just join one of the tiers. Even the $1 tier gets you into the contest. Once we have 100 Patreons there, then we're going to pick someone randomly, announce them on the show, and you get your choice, signed Chris Godwin or signed Kenny Golladay. And guys, I got to say, that Kenny Golladay jersey is beautiful. And also, check out the Sleeper Wire store. Get you that Sleeper Wire mug or hoodie or face mask, right?
All good stuff, man. I might have to get in there for that Godwin jersey, man.
It looks good. It looks good.
Is it 14 or 12?
I think it's 12.
He changed his number, so that now that's like classic. That's a throwback.
Yeah,
now.
It's 12. It's from last season.
Uh-huh. There you go. You want that one. They don't. That's not on the shelves no more.
The OG Chris Godwin.
Yes.
Movie. That's what it is. Well, let's move to final thoughts here, and I'm going to take it back to Logan Thomas. So in terms of fantasy, he's only put up two dud games this season. Out of the seven, he's had three games of double-digit points, including games of 13.7, 13.2, and 16. That's pretty great from a guy who is a streaming tight end and is still available in more than 70% of leagues. Now, Washington football team is on a bye this coming week. But coming out of the bye, he's going against the Giants, Lions, Bengals, and Cowboys. Those are dream matchups. In week 9, you're going to be missing Tyler Higbee and Austin Hooper and Harrison Bryant, if you picked him up, along with the Eagles tight ends. In week 10, we've got Kelce, Schultz, and Hurst are on a bye. Week 11, Kittle, Engram, Graham are on a bye. My point is, we've got a bunch of good starting tight ends. And when I say starting tight ends, I mean starting in your fantasy roster, who are going to be on byes in the coming weeks, and you're going to need to pick up a streamer. Honestly, you probably don't need to put any fab down on Logan Thomas either. With him on a bye this coming week, you can probably grab him after waivers run, and then you've got a streamer you can stash for the next couple weeks. Instead of spending waiver priority when your tight end is on a bye, spend that waiver priority on that fab on something else right now and grab Logan Thomas for free.
Respectable. All right, so I'll go with my closing thoughts. If you want a streamer and you're content with average or basic, I think Logan Thomas is that. I think he is a streamer. And, you know, he has three games above 10. But I think if you look at what Bryant has done in limited time, I think it's clear and evident that his ceiling is higher. And, you know, when you compared him to the Texans tight end, I think you just go back and what I said before about Baker Mayfield's history with a tight end. He produces. Tight ends produce with Baker Mayfield. He's at his best when his tight end's producing. Now, Deshaun Watson, historically, you know, it's been a guessing game since he got into the NFL who's going to be the tight end that he gets the ball to. So I don't really think we can compare Harrison Bryant to Darren Fells. I think Harrison Bryant should be looked at as a receiving option in Cleveland. I think that, yes, Austin Hooper is the number one. I do think we already know they don't like David Njoku. It's not which week they do like David Njoku. They don't like him. All right.
Fair enough.
They're running out of receiving options. Higgins looked good. He looked very good. Landry's banged up. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses games. I think Bryant's going to slide in. He might see some targets out of the slot. Even if he's lined up at tight end, I think he's more of a receiver than he is as a tight end in this Cleveland offense. So I think his ceiling's high. If you want to swing for the fence, you know, if you want somebody who's going to help you down the stretch, yes, it might cost you a little more than a Logan Thomas, but I also think the reward will be a little higher.
Yeah, you're right about Rashard Higgins in particular. He was almost one of the guys for the great debate this week.
That's right.
On, Sunday.
I couldn't discuss Aguilar. I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't.
Well, who was it? Let me look back at what we were talking about on Twitter. It was Aguilar had a good game, Rashard Higgins had a good game, and who was the other? Oh, Marquez Callaway.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, he's a guy that everybody should go pick up regardless. I like that cat.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good call. Well, John, thanks again for joining me, man. This was a blast.
Man, thank you. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun to do this on a Monday night during the Monday night game. I can go watch that now.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can follow you and support you real quick?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Coach Sheps. You can find our show, Toilets and Titles, over at Toilets and Titles on Twitter. We got we stream live on YouTube every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Or 9 p.m. It kind of bounces back and forth, and we touch on all, you know, the important decisions you need to make this week. Start sits. We talk betting lines, streamers, you know, DFS plays, everything. So YouTube and on Twitter, that's where you can find us.
And you can follow SleeperWire on Twitter at SleeperWireShow. I'm on there at Prof_ChrisSW. And you can also hit me up on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris. John, thanks again, man. This was a lot of fun. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.